Good evening. It's good to see everybody. Let's all stand. We're going to sing O Come, Emmanuel. We're singing the first and the last.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly hope. Make safe the way that leads on high, and show the path that brings us nigh. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Brother Arnold, could you please open us up in a word of prayer this evening?
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every one that's come out this evening, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, as we go into your word, that you'll just help us, Lord, to open our hearts and minds to it. Let us receive the blessing you have for us. Help us, Lord, to remember you and everything that's said and done, and to be in the spirit of praising you during this holiday season, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good evening, everybody. Go over a few prayer requests here real quick. Let's keep lifting up the recent bereaved families, the Abbott family with the passing of Jennifer's father, the Barnes family in the passing of Peter's dad, and his brother Mark before that. Pray for the Buck family in the church where Pat Creed III pastors. Pray for the Fall family in the passing of Miss Creed's Uncle Garland. Pray for the Harvey family, Marcia, in the passing of Marcia Glade's friend. Pray for the Hornbeck family, Pastor John is passing, and he's a missionary in Germany. Pray for the Howe family, father of co-worker Chris Edwards. Pray for the James family, David, cousin to Jimmy DeYoung. Pray for the Kaiser family, Brother Joe's wife, Barbara, went to be with the Lord. Pray for the Key family, the two brothers that passed, Sharita's cousins. Pray for the Lee family. Miss Lee was a client of Denise Hurst. Pray for the McClary family in the passing of Pastor Michael's wife. And pray for the Mortley family in Sister Marissa's father's passing. Pray for the Prasad family and the passing brother Tony. And pray for the Phillips family, the son of Janine, co-worker of Chris Edwards. Pray for the Reyes family, Megan Ramsey Reyes, father-in-law Samuel, went to be with the Lord. Pray for the Roebuck family. Brian's mother, Brian, is pastor's Christian co-worker. Pray for the Simmons family. CJ and Chelsea's grandfather went to be with the Lord. Pray for the Stapleton family, Daniel Stapleton, who Faye's brother-in-law went to be with the Lord. Pray for the Tao family, Sheila's mother went to be with the Lord. Pray for the Williams family, Jean Williams, the wife of Pastor Vent Williams, went to be with the Lord. Pray for the Williams family, Vincent, brother-in-law of Anthony Prasad, went to be with the Lord. And pray for the families of those killed in Afghanistan and in mass violence and in natural disasters. And as we move down to our individual requests, keep praying for Daniel Abbott. His mom shared this morning that he wasn't feeling well. So be praying for his health. He's got to be tested. Pray that it's not COVID. And pray for Kathy DeGennaro's granddaughter, Kaylee. Pray for unspoken. Doctors need wisdom to help her with her depression. And specifically, she has emergency surgery Tuesday. The doctors must put her to sleep to check her stomach for ulcers. So be lifting her up, especially Tuesday when she has this procedure done, that that everything will go well. And pray for Haley Threadgill, one of our Master Club kids. She tested positive for COVID. She's doing well. I think she had a fever, and she was taking, I think, Tylenol, and her fever went down. So far, she's doing well. So keep lifting her up in prayer. Pray for Patrick, Tiffany, and Hudson. They all have the flu. Hudson was the worst, but they are all improving. And pray for traveling mercies as they come to Maryland for Christmas. Pray for Pastor Scott Hook's grandson, Bennett, who is in NICU in Charlotte, North Carolina Hospital. So be praying that God to heal him. And for our general request, pray for our mission commitments, that everybody is faithful to the commitment that they made to the Lord, so that we can support the missionaries and the projects that we have planned for the new year. Pray for our nation in all the chaos. The real need is for people to get saved. Pray for our church family, our bus ministry. Pray our bus gets repaired in the shop and is back before the next teen activity. Pray for our teens and teen activities overnight, December 28th and 29th. Pray for our Master Club kids. Pray for Sunday school. Pray for our church folks as they witness to the one. Pray for the baptistry that we're going to have a permanent one put in. Pray for our sister churches around the country and world, especially our pastors in Canada that are being jailed, and believers in Afghanistan being martyred for the sake of Christ. Pray for our pastors, our lost loved ones, our first responders, our military, nurses, doctors, teachers, students, parents. Outbreaks of the flu and COVID has closed a lot of the public schools. Pray for Winchester, Woodlawn, and Salisbury Baptist Church. Churches have folks with COVID. Pray for all of the churches without pastors, that they would be able to continue the ministry and the Lord would lead them to the right pastor. Pray for Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lemon Grove that needs a pastor. Pray for Westside Baptist Church in Laurinburg, North Carolina, needs a pastor. And pray for the Filipino Independent Baptist Church in Norfolk, Virginia, as a church split. Pray for peace, healing, and that the ministry be not destroyed.
Amen.
Pray that the Holy Spirit will work there. Pray for folks traveling for Christmas, our folks in Kentucky suffering from the tornadoes, and pray for folks in the southern part of the Philippines suffering from typhoons. And with that, are there any additions or revisions? Yes?
I just wanted to an update on this little guy, baby Joel. You all know chemo, what it does to your body and how once it kills, basically kill you. And so he's having the ups and downs, and because he has to go every 3 weeks for this chemo, he's been in there already 2 weeks, and like they were home maybe one day. And so the week after Christmas, he's going to have another round of chemo. I don't know if they're going to get out before then, because the counts are dropping. It's just a lot. It's beyond me. But just please pray for this family, the Souder family, well, Big Joel's family. It's his mom, dad, you know. But
yes, yeah. I mean, he's only 9 months old, and he's got to have chemotherapy. I mean, it's just making him sick, and he doesn't understand. I mean, it's just, and his mom has, they have other children too, right?
They
two other children.
Yes.
So it's an awful lot. So we pray and lifting him up in prayer, please. Anyone else have anything? No? Brother Glade, would you like to stand and pray for us, please?
Dear God, again, we come to you thanking you for this day that you've given us and for this time that we can be in church. As always, we lift up all these prayer requests. And we know that you're in control, and especially pray for this young child that's having to go through all this chemo and be with his family. And we thank you for this church and how it doesn't forget people that are in need, and people that need prayer. We know every prayer is heard from you, God. We just know you're in control at all times. Now be a pastor as he delivers your message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, amen. Anybody got any praises tonight? Tim?
I'd like to praise the Lord for 15 years with you.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to believe it's been 15 years, but you know, I can still remember when you and I used to fold the escort around you, and we would go visit people. You'd sit there with your knees up in your face because it was such a small car. And we'd go visit people. We had sweet fellowship.
Amen.
And I just praise the Lord that you stuck to the guns and you're faithful to the Word of God, and you protect that pulse out there, as a lot of people are saying this morning. I praise the Lord for you. So, thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes.
Yeah, it's funny that we didn't talk about this, but this morning it was hard to get words together. But I think back to, by God's grace, 25 years ago when I came here, that doctrine, the preaching from the pulpit, has not changed. And I praise God.
Amen.
That it kept going, and you never waver on anything that God's Word says. If it says it, it's true. And I praise God for that foundation that we've had. And it just keeps adding, and just God is so amazing because we see so many people just get wrapped up in things that don't matter, and then they get these weird ideas that we've seen preachers come through, and next thing you know, they're so off. And I praise God that God's man has stuck to just preach the Word. And that's what we need.
Man, who else? Yes.
I'm thankful that we had a safe trip last week and made it back safely. It's a little hectic coming back, but I'm glad we were able to find a church.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, she just reminded me. I decided to be a blessing to my wife, you know, with COVID and everything was going on, and I decided to take her out of town, take her Christmas shopping. First in a probably long time, but God forgive me for that. But she was like a kid in a candy store down there, you know. So it was a blessing from the Lord. The weather was great. It was great.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Anita.
I have to praise the Lord for my daughter. When I retired, I had no savings to speak of, and I had no retirement. And just before having to retire, I ended up losing the job that I'd had for many years. Basically, everybody on the company lost their job. And she wouldn't have had to take me in. I could have done what my sister did and go to a government-assisted payments on a retirement home or something. But that would have been my only option. But she opened her home to me.
Amen.
And it has been a sweet time of fellowship. It has been a real blessing. And I just... I sometimes am amazed at how good God is to give us what we really need, and it's been sweet. And this church has added to that because we can come here and know we're going to hear the truth.
Okay. You said something about, you know, you were just talking about the church, the Filipino church down there. You have to realize, and I share this with pastors, I share it with Benjamin's wife, Jen, when they had some people down there that was shocked. And you have to realize that even though a person's been in a church for a long time, they may not be saved. Mm. There are lost people in church.
Yes, brother. Yeah.
And their father is the devil. And so there are churches that are turning on their pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And there's, you know, we actually need this year to get into finding some places here in Maryland to start churches.
Yes.
And just start them. If we have to take some people and go preach on Saturday till we get somebody on Sunday or whatever we have to do, but we need to start. You know, there needs to be a epidemic of Bible-believing churches started.
Yes.
And you were talking about the truth, Dawn, and Anita, and some folks were talking about the truth and doctrine. There are men and young men going to Bible colleges that we know. They're leaving those colleges, and they're changing. They use the independent fundamental Baptist colleges for their training, and then they go off. And they're using excuses that, you know, the independent fundamental Baptist sweep sin under the carpet, hide sin. Well, they do. They do. That's what happened to Reformers Unanimous. Reformers Unanimous. The pastor hid sin, and when people faced him with it, he said, "You got to realize the ministry is bigger than that." And it's gone all kaplooey. And one of the good men that was with that thing has gotten with some good people, and they're starting to work on a new organization as far as material. But what I'm saying is, people sweep sin under the carpet. We don't do that here. Amen. If there's a problem, we deal with it. And we don't shoot our wounded. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? We're not here to judge. God's the judge. We're here to minister and bind up and love and forgive. Right? Amen. And so that's happening all over. Down where you went, down the people you knew, and preachers that are on the internet, there's crazy things going on that side in our circle. And then we have a group of young men, and we got these praise teams on the platform, you know. Now, I don't think your dress makes you spiritual.
Right.
But when I come into a church and there's a group of people in jeans with their jeans all cut up, and guys are wearing skinny jeans and they're swallowing the mic and they're playing all kinds of music and everything, and when news people from the news media are trying to go to, they visit with their Baptist friends at the church and they say, man, it looked like a rock concert. There's a problem.
Exactly, brother. Amen.
And so, you know, you open the door, even some reformed theologists like MacArthur and Vody, I forget Vody's last name.
Vody Bachman.
He says, that's not worship.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't believe worship should be dead.
Right.
You know, I don't believe worship songs should be dead. I don't believe church music should be dead.
No.
I don't mean, but I don't believe it should be. I don't believe it should appeal to your flesh either.
Right.
And so you find a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Manita was rocking a little bit this morning, but we'll fix that. But you know, my music appreciation, I listen to Handel's Messiah and weep during the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
But I can listen to Greater Vision. I can listen to the Southern Gospel. I can listen to Bluegrass for a little bit. And I can listen to, you know, different. I've got a wide range of music appreciation, and I'm not getting off on a music lesson, but there's appropriate music. There's unscriptural music, Hillsong, and some of those guys are
right.
Just, they're way off.
Doctrinally way off.
And so, you know, it's a difficult position. You're in the hot seat when you're the pastor because you're the doctrinal stand, it can erode because of things you do and don't do. You know, I don't like preaching with a tie. I wear a tie. But if I didn't wear a tie, it doesn't mean I'm wicked, you know. And so, but there are a lot of gateway things guys are doing. You understand what I'm saying? And preacher, why do we have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Because we just do. That's what we do. If we decide as a church to change that up, doesn't mean we're wicked.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I bounce it back and forth. I want to do maximum ministry to people and reach as many people as I can. I wish I'm not going to get down on my knees, but to beg people to come to our Sunday school lessons. Those Sunday school lessons are really good.
Amen.
Amen.
They're really good. And it's not me. It's the Word of God. And we had a good lesson this morning with the guys. Guys
Amen.
Talked and shared. It was really good. And that's what Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study ought to be, with, you know, response and so forth. And so anyhow, the churches are changing. They're changing. There's a real attack on the Bible we use. This one guy down right outside, I don't know if I told you, right outside of the town where my wife was grew up, he had a debate with a guy that uses our version, a guy that uses another version, and the guy that was defending the King James Bible wasn't anywhere in the ballpark of no substance. I had to turn it off. I had to turn it off. And I responded to everybody. I said, why debate something like this?
Right.
This is like debating gravity.
Right.
You're not going to change it. You're not going to change me.
That's right.
And that's why I call it the King James Bible. Now, we may have some people walk in here with a different version. That's fine. But if they're going to stay, they're going to hear this and hear this and hear this, and this
Amen.
Is what we're going to teach in.
Right.
This is what our teachers are going to use. This is what we're going to print. You know, that's just the way it is. And we're not nuts about it. We're not Ruckmanites. Okay? And we're not crazy about it. So, yeah, 15 years, there's no secret. You just do what you're supposed to do. Right?
Amen.
Like when you were little, get out of line a couple times, Arnold. Mama or daddy whoops you. And, you know, that's just the way. You just don't want a whooping from God, right? And a lot of people don't understand this. This church does, but God holds me responsible for everything that happens here. They say, well, you know, what are you in charge of? Everything. But I have people that I trust. And we have a trust here, and everybody stays within the boundaries. You all know how I think. Some of you, it scares you. Some of you are still trying to figure it out. But you know how I think and how we want to do things. And everybody has bought into that. And when new people come, they understand. It's just kind of like a flow. It's not something that's dead. But I'm going to stand before God and answer for the nursery and master clubs and teens and the media and the money and everything. I am. And if something wasn't right because of me, God's going to hold me responsible. And so, but I want to be a leader. I don't want to be a controller. You understand what I'm saying? I want to lead you like a chain. You take a chain, you push from the link on the, you set it on the table and you push it from the link on the back, it messes up. But if you take the lead link and move it along, it's a smooth thing. So anyhow, pray for the baptistry. We're trying to get the baptistry people to respond to us so we can order that. Don't forget the Christmas Eve service. And try to invite lost folks. Calendar, we're working on cat. We'll get the calendar out probably next Sunday, something with something, some main events. Miss Creed's got to get some on the calendar, but we got a kids crusade February 4th through 6th, missions emphasis April 10th with BJ Schultz and another brother, Adrian Burden. I'm working on solidifying a 3-day revival with Adrian Burden. You haven't met him. You'll like him. 3-day revival before Memorial Day. That Friday, Saturday, Sunday. September Missions Month for the Sundays in September. And October 27th through 31st for our anniversary revival. And we've got Brother Chad coming in. And I'm old. I forgot his last name, but I'll remember during the message, Chad Bailey, and a very, very, very blessed. He's a blessing here. He's a Bible preacher.
Amen.
And looking forward to 2022. Amen. But how should we celebrate Christmas? Everybody celebrates it different, don't they? I mean, it's fun to talk to people because it's some people have some traditions that are just, you know, you look at them, they're out there, and then you say, you know, well, that's pretty neat. But everybody has their menu for their dinner, where they go, right? Where they go, they make their rounds or stay home. And Miss Creed's gotten to the place. She said, you know, we just need to stay home. If they want to show up for their presents, they're here. We're not mailing them. We're putting them under the tree at our house.
Amen.
And if you all want them, you all come on. But different traditions. First time I met Pam's side of the family was their dad. Her father's side of the family had a Christmas party and they had food, and everybody welcomed me, you know, and I didn't know who I was talking to. They all called me. They knew my name, and then everybody opened their presents, and they had presents for me. All the guys got a pair of socks, and all the ladies got a scarf. That's just the way it was. And it was interesting. And then I got to talking to my wife about her childhood, and they said, you know, we would for our Christmas, we would get a piece of fruit and a little toy. You know? And for our Christmas, we got toys and toys and toys and toys and toys and candy and candy and candy. I mean, it was different. And, you know, I like during the Christmas, I like the smell of pine candles, right? Don't burn those cranberry or those vanilla or those coconut or, you know, moonlight at the warehouse, you know, whatever flavor you got. But I like that balsam, that I like that color. And I like the smell of those Christmas trees, and I like a real Christmas. We haven't had one for a while, but Miss Creed has one. I call it the keto tree. It's skinny, But she likes the remember those aluminum trees with the color wheel. She loves those. She's wanting to find one. We've tried to find one. And you try to look online for them, they cost an arm and a leg. And then you get them, and they're not in very good shape. You know, you just got to find one where you can get it and take it home. But that's the quest. But she likes that. Now, the tradition she started now, she's got a plate, a Christmas plate for each of the kids she had. And then we got stockings for all the kids and all the grandkids. What else does she have? Well, they get me Snoopies for Christmas. I got all kinds of Snoopies that we collect. And she started this year with these stupid gnomes. And, you know, I'll be gnome for Christmas and all that stuff. You know, she likes them. Elizabeth likes them, so I'm outvoted. But there's just a lot of different traditions and things. I used to like, when we were teenagers, we used to go caroling and show up at some folks' shut-ins and things like that. But I want to look in the Bible, and just for a few moments tonight, just kind of focus in on personally how we should personally celebrate Christmas. All right? Whatever you do, if you've got Santa Claus all over the place, fine. He's not real. Amen. He's fat. Right. He's red and white. He's fun to look at, fun to play with. I mean, we will watch Home Alone, every Home Alone movie 12 times. We'll watch every Christmas Hallmark movie 12 times, and Elf 50 times.
Oh, amen.
Santa, you know, and Elf. Marilyn, you like Elf, don't you?
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, man.
Marilyn, let's stop and play it for her. And there's all kinds of them. They're all in there. Miracle on
34.
And the what's the Ebenezer Scrooge thing?
Christmas Carol.
Miss Creed likes the old one. The old one now, and then there's the Grinch that stole Christmas, and that is a weird thing.
Yeah, it looks like marijuana.
And it gets weird. Besides that, and so we'll get it all out of our system watching football, right, guys? And then, I want you to think about how to celebrate Christmas. So you know, Christmas is just like it's just like we're in a race.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the finish line, we say, what happened?
Right.
Until we look at our bank account, we know what happened. And, you know, so I want you to think about that tonight. We're going to look in Luke chapter 2, And I want to think about some things. The Christmas was first celebrated in the year 98 A.D., but it was 40 years before it was officially adopted as a Christmas festival. It was not until about the 5th century that the day of its celebration became permanently fixed on December 25th. Up to that time, it had been celebrated various times of the year. Even though Christmas has been celebrated for hundreds of years, not all have looked favorably on the celebration of it. A lot of people, some people don't enjoy it. The Pilgrim Fathers, who first came to America, opposed festivals. They spent their first Christmas in America working hard all day, long amid the cold and stormy weather, and commenced the building of the first house in Plymouth, 1620. Christmas is celebrated different around the world. It's different ways. In France, the children put their shoes in front of the fireplace so that Father Christmas can fill them. I'd put a big shoe. In Spain, people dance and sing in the streets after midnight mass on Christmas Eve. We don't have mass. In Italy, the family prayers, family prays while their mother places a figure of Bambino, the Christ child, in the manger. In Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, Christmas dinner includes rice pudding that has a single almond in it. According to tradition, whoever gets the almond will have good luck in the coming year, and some people said that the person will be married. Anyhow, I don't know if that's luck or what. But in Austria, New Zealand, December comes during the summer, so many people celebrate Christmas by going to the beach. So a lot of people celebrate Christmas differently. It has been, and I record a couple TV preachers on my DVR. I record a couple of them that I watch sometimes during the week, and I watched one this afternoon. It did a special Christmas. It did its Christmas special in New York, and Lord have mercy, there were no Christmas songs that we're talking about, really, about Jesus.
Exactly.
And it gets so commercialized.
Right.
We were shocked when, years ago, Pam was teaching at the college, and she asked one of the ladies, she says, "What are you doing for Christmas?" And she says, "Oh, are you going to spend it with family?" She says, "No. We buy gifts and take them to other people that don't have anything. They don't spend Christmas at home." So let's move on quick. That's convicting, isn't it? But it's the lighting of the Christmas tree everywhere, and this and that everywhere, and all these different things everywhere, and it seems like every Christmas we just move further and further away from the real truth.
Exactly.
Of what it's all about. As a Christian, you can enjoy that. I can enjoy the lights, I can enjoy the trees, and I can enjoy all that. But I know the real reason, and I want my children and my I told my children, I had these kids. I told kids a lot of things. You know, there's no tooth fairy. There's no
Amen.
Santa.
Amen. That's right.
You know, but where's that money come from? Well, where did it come from? Where do you think it comes from? You know? and so they were wanting to pull their teeth all the time. But it isn't toothless kid. Well, all I want for Christmas is a mouth of teeth, right? But not just the two front. But we know the reason. And he came. And it's really not as much Christmas as it is Jesus' birth, Jesus coming, and God coming in the flesh. You know, and if we could bring some people back that lived during that time, they'd look around and say, "Well, what is all this for?" "Well, this is Christmas." "Well, why do you do that?" We'd have some splaining to do, right? So tonight I want to focus in, and I don't want to throw cold water on what you do, and you don't want to throw cold water on what I do. But what we want to do is just focus. Amen? So let's think about some people in this chapter. There's three or four people I want to look at. How the shepherds celebrated Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night." These were not ordinary shepherds. They were shepherds and the flocks that they were watching, that was not an ordinary flock. These shepherds were the ones that took care of the sheep that would be offered as sacrificial lambs. Mm. These were the ones that would for the temple, and so they were watching them. It's not surprising they were the recipients of this special message, because it was the coming of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. In verse 10 and 11, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And you should circle that word "all," because there are people in this world today that don't think everybody can be saved.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to all. It's all. And there are some people that think it's only to a certain few or chosen, but it's to all.
Amen.
"For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This came as a message to all, and it came as a great message and a wonderful message to the shepherds. The Savior means deliverer, and he came to deliver us. He came to earth to deliver us from sin and Satan and hell. And this message of good tidings was truly one that brings great joy. Robert Stephenson, he was a famous Scottish engineer and the grandfather of the Robert Louis Stephenson, the well-known writer, was born in 1772. 100 years after his birth, a great demonstration was held in Newcastle, and it was a huge procession with banners, and they were honoring him. They were honoring him. He was a distinguished engineer, and he became the distinguished engineer of that time. And in the procession, a group of peasants who carried a small banner, and on that banner said this: "He was one of us. He was one of us." Listen, Jesus came. Jesus came and was made in the flesh. He became as we are. Yet God, yet man. He took on the flesh. The message that the shepherds reported, they came into the town, and in verse 15 it says, "And came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." Man, they believed it. They believed what the angels said, "which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came and they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, listen. And when they had seen it, what'd they do? They made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning this child. They shared the message. They shared the message. That's how they celebrated their Christmas. Let me just say something, folks. We should celebrate Christmas by sharing the message of why Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
Why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? You can start out by saying, "He came to save me."
Amen.
He came to save. I want you to notice not only how they celebrated, but I want you to think about how the scholars celebrated Christmas. In Matthew chapter 2, and we'll look, I'll read some verses from Matthew chapter 2. There were some scholars came. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, by the way, they celebrated late, because when they came into the house, he was not in Bethlehem. And the nativity scenes, a lot of them are not correct. Some of them have a halo over Mary's head. That's not correct, because Mary was a sinner, just like you and I. She was not deity. Never has been, never will be. And then they have the wise men. The wise men didn't come until they didn't come to the manger. So how did these scholars celebrate? Well, they celebrated late. And so we're talking about some people that celebrated late, but they celebrated right. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to show you. How did they approach Jesus? That's what the first thought I want you to think about. The word fell down and worshiped him. Now, I don't know if you can imagine this, but here's a boy. Here's a boy. I don't know exact age that Jesus was, but he was not a baby.
Right.
But they fell down and worshiped him. That's how they approached. I really think it's a great thing to do in your home with your family is to take time to worship Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, I thought the only time you can worship is in... No, worship is a lifestyle. Amen. Worship is obedience, reverence, and praise. Amen. Worship the Lord. These men worship the Lord. How did they worship the Lord? They gave precious gifts. And folks, we have precious things that God gives us to give back to him. Our time, our treasures, our talents. The word worship literally means to kiss. The word is descriptive of a dog licking the hand of a master. We worship the Lord. And how did they approach him? They approached him in reverence. They fell and they worshiped him. But I want you to notice also they acknowledged him. They brought gifts and presented them to him. They presented him with frankincense. Frankincense is symbolic of the work of a priest. And they acknowledged him to be the great high priest. They gave him gold. That's the gift for a king. And they presented him with myrrh. That's the gift. That's used to embalm the body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You say, why would they do that? Because they knew exactly why he came.
Exactly. Amen.
And we would do well to take time to give those symbols and share what they did chronologically, but share how they worshiped Jesus. We weren't able to worship the baby Jesus. He's not a baby, right? We weren't able to see him, but we're able to worship him. Amen? And so... Now we see not only how the shepherds, but also how the scholars celebrated Christmas. Let me say this: how the saints celebrated Christmas. There's two special people I want to look at. Luke chapter 2, and somebody mentioned the one in Sunday school this morning. But Luke chapter 2, look at verse 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, let me just tell you something. This Simeon was a man of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Simeon was a man of God. He got it. He wasn't like those Pharisees that we've been preaching about in John.
Exactly.
He didn't want to kill Jesus. He wasn't waiting for a Messiah, military Messiah. He wasn't waiting for a monetary Messiah. He was waiting for the Messiah that would come and die for the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. And notice what it says in verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now this is when the Holy Ghost would come upon, not indwell.
Mm-hmm.
You got this? That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was waiting. Notice, and he came by the what? Verse 27.
Spirit.
He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to the word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I want you to notice, first of all, there was the appreciation. Mm-hmm. He appreciated the Lord coming. Have you ever, you know, when our kids, somebody does something for our kids, they get something, they're so excited about getting something like candy or something, they just commence to chomping on it. But we say thank you, and they go, thank you, and then they commence to doing it again. We don't say thank you enough. We don't say to each other. But let me say something. It's time to really take time to thank Jesus for what he did. Never stop thanking him for Calvary.
Amen.
Never stop thanking him for raising from the dead. Never stop thanking him for making intercession for you. And so Simeon, man, can you imagine this fellow? That one portion of scripture is tremendous study. Mm-hmm. Here's a Jew that the Holy Ghost was on him. Wow. And the Holy Spirit led him to where Jesus was. Wow. And because, you know why? He got it. And so let's during Christmas season, let's appreciate Jesus. And then let me finish up by talking about a lady by the name of Anna. Look at Luke chapter 2. And there was one, look at verse 36 and 37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. Now, that's one way to say she was an old lady. Okay? And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow out of about 84 years. Now, what is that?
84.
Wow. Which departed not from the temple, and but what?
Sure.
With what?
Fasting and prayers night and day.
Can you imagine? I would want to be on her prayer list. Huh? You say, preacher, I'm a woman. How should I pray? Luke chapter 2, 36, following. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own city, Nazareth. Let me just say something, folks. Here's a lady that was praying and fasting. Now let me tell you something. This could have read Anna, a bitter old woman. Mm-hmm. And let me just say to you that things happen and things have happened in our life and we have loss of loved ones that have gone on before. We have loss of this and loss of that. We have things that have happened to us, and we can get bitter at things. But this woman, she was a widow, and her husband was gone, and she served the Lord in fasting and praying. And you know what she did? She shared with people the redemption. Mm-hmm. This is the Redeemer. This is the Redeemer. Look what it says there. It says this. And spake of him, verse 38, to all them that looked for a redemption in Jerusalem. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There were people looking for redemption? Yeah. By the way, there's people looking for redemption in PG County. Mm-hmm. In Anne Arundel County. Mm-hmm. There's people looking for redemption. There are people looking for somebody to tell them the truth. There are people that are tired of drinking and drugging and carousing and one relationship after another and tired of being a workaholic and tired of being bitter. There are people out there, And folks, I believe this COVID, and I believe what's happened in America has given us, and in the world has given us, an open door like never before to see people saved and for people to actually listen to the Word of God.
Amen.
Now more than ever.
And we need to fast and pray.
Amen.
Fast and pray. So here's some people. Here's some people. We celebrate with gifts and different things, but here's a perspective. Here's a perspective. The shepherd's witness, mm-hmm. right? The scholars worshiped, appreciated. Simeon. He was looking for the Lord. And Anna was serving and praying. You know, there's some things that we should never take a vacation from. There's never, you don't take time off from God.
Nope. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, there are some things. There are some so-called TV Christmas specials. They're not special. Mm-mm. They're wicked. There are some things that we may do, we may rethink about spending more time with the family and thanking Jesus. Maybe during the Christmas season, going to those family members that don't know Christ and just praying with them. Sharing with them Christ. Spend some time thanking the Lord, not for the Christmas tree, but the tree on which he died. Let's celebrate Christmas the right way this year. And I know we do. But I want to remind you every year that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one looking around. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Hands all over. Talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, preacher, I want to celebrate Christmas the right way this year. And I want to solidify in my heart and mind some things that will help me remember. We're going to pray and we're going to have an invitation. If you want to get along with the Lord, you come. Lord, thank you for your word. Bless us now as we do business with you in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. If God spoke to you, you want to get along with him. Maybe there's somebody you need to witness to and you want to ask God to give you opportunity. Folks that need to be saved. Maybe there's some people you know that need to be back in church. Well, wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to talk to some people that are out of church and some people that are away from God and encourage them to come back? Come back home because he's waiting and he wants them back. Thank you. be seated. Let's have some ushers here. We'll receive the evening offering. Let's give as the Lord directs. Let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, let's pray for each other this week, and try to get some folks, some friends to come with you on Friday night, amen. All right? And invite them, and we'll enjoy that Christmas Eve service together. You folks that are traveling, have a safe trip. Chris, close for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us safely this evening. Well, I pray that you would please keep us safe. And you help those that are traveling to get their destination safe. Lord, you would bring us all back together again on Friday. We pray all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.